Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han. Han, how are you?
I am marvelous, Jim. Yourself?
Excellent, excellent. Well, welcome to tonight's episode number 26. Change orders, extras, and unforeseen conditions. It's going to be an interesting topic, which we're hopefully going to be able to delve into the uniquenesses of these, maybe pull the curtain back a little bit, provide a little bit of knowledge that maybe our listeners haven't had before, and get down to the nitty and gritty on what are all these nasty little things that potentially make the doctor open his wallet and spend money while they're trying to develop a project. So, Han and I,
Jim,
we've been
Jim,
doing
this
for
this
years.
This is like,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim. Now this is like the case of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
By the way, there will be good.
Yeah.
There will be bad, and there obviously will be ugly, but you know, our goal tonight really is to provide information so that you don't get stuck. You can minimize, you know, that's the goal. Minimize the potential for extras, for change orders, and set yourself up to keep these things at a bare minimum. Now, way back in numerous other episodes, if you want to go back and catch our podcast, we've talked about a bunch of things. But you'll find in those that there is a discussion of things like the review process. And one of the things is dealing with your lending institution. And when we talked with them, matter of fact, last week we had someone in from Live Oak. And Brandy, she went over quite a lot of information and discussed the one thing that was in there known as a contingency. Now, a contingency, as we reviewed, was something that is in your line item budget. It's part of your potential loan, and it's there for those unforeseen things so that you don't theoretically have to open your wallet, pull out your checkbook, and write a check out of your personal account to keep things going. But like I was saying, Han and I have been doing this for years, so we have story after story after story of what can happen, what has happened, but mostly we want to make sure that you understand what you should be doing to make sure that you don't have an exorbitant amount of change orders. Now, there's never a perfect project that doesn't have some particular issue that has to be addressed. It may not cost money, but there are always issues, aren't there, Han?
Always. You can't escape it. It just, you know, that's the unforeseen. You can manage it, but you can't escape it.
And that's what our job. That's what we do, is to help to mitigate and minimize those issues. Sometimes Han and I look at ourselves as firemen with fire hats on, that we go from one fire to the next to make sure that the fire doesn't burn the house down. And that's fine. That's what we do and what we're paid to do to deal with those little nitty-gritty little things that it's just natural for the construction business. We've talked before. Construction is a nasty business. It's difficult. It's expensive. It's something that has to be done if you're going to create a new facility or renovate a new facility. And by the way, tonight's discussion doesn't really have any parameters. It's going to be whether you're building a new You're going to build something from the ground up on a new piece of property, or you're going to go into a retail center and renovate that, or like we've seen a lot lately, where dentists are going into business centers or medical office buildings and renovating those, taking over portions and turning them into their new dental facility. So it works for it has the potential in any of those applications. So let's start with just the understanding of what is a change order. A lot of times, most people lump everything together as, well, that's just a change order, you know, any extra that happens on a project. Well, that's not really true. A change order, technically, is a request by your contractor for additional adjustments. Now, it could be a change order doesn't have a dollar cost assigned to it. It could be a $0, or it could be a extra, meaning you would pay extra money to make this change order move forward. Or there are a rare few, we've had them, where the change order actually results in money being credited back to you. But a change order happens after and only after the construction general contractor has been basically
selected,
signed on the dotted line. They've been hired, and they have started construction. Up until the point of that, change orders do not exist. They only exist after construction has started. Now, and that's an important nomenclature and understanding, because it's actually a legal amendment to your contract that you should have signed with your builder. Go back to our other podcast and listen about things about what to do with your builder and the contracts and all that stuff, because in your contract, there should be nomenclature and information that says this is what a change order is and this is how a change order is processed. And a change order has a very specific path that it has to basically travel to get to the point of being approved. Do not, please, and Han, you can probably relate on this many a times, do not just accept a change order from your builder, sign it, send it to the bank to be paid. How many times have we seen that happen, hon?
Too many times to count, Jim. You know, maybe I'm just jumping ahead of the game here. There is a check and balance in the process, regardless of, you know, whatever the procedure is. But in dealing with change order, there is a very defined process, so they protect the project and they protect the client, and it preserves the integrity of the design. At the same time, it you know, it tries to manage the cost. So yeah, we see it too often where the mistake or the interpretation is that, oh, it's equal to like an invoice. They need a little extra money. They want they propose this change, and there's a little bit of money involved. They just sign off, and by signing off, that means you approved it, and that cost, whether it's justified or not, is now yours to pay. So it's not something that should be taken lightly. It should be reviewed and agreed upon. Otherwise, you're spending good money for no real logical reason.
Right, because what you've done is the owner has hired us as their representative as part of our service during the construction phase. And so all change orders have to be reviewed by the architect. They're reviewed by the architect. We will determine whether it's a legitimate change order or not based upon the contract documents. And there's numerous times when they're not legitimate change orders. And there are times when they're, yep, it's a legitimate change order, and here's the reason. The owner an explanation as to what happened and why it is a legit or not legit. And then we'll make a recommendation for either payment or denial. Then you would then transfer that over to your lender. Your lender will review it and review what we've said. And then once they are okay with it, then you review it, everything that you've gotten from us and your lender, and accept it or decline it. Once you've accepted it, then you pass it back over to your lender, and your lender then would pay the appropriate whatever, whether it's a check or whether it's going to be a credit to the contractor. Then the contractor should start the work, not before. Never, ever accept a contractor's attempt at a change order when they say, well, we've already done the work. We need this change order approved. Well, thank you very much. But, you know, why did you not go through the process and the procedures? That's always a big red flag, big red flag. And, you know, that's back to Hans' comment about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's part of the ugly because, you know, you understand, being the builder, should understand what the process is, should understand what they have to do to be able to get a change order approved. And so then it becomes a, you know, proverbial fight as to whether it's an appropriate change order, it's appropriate amount, and so on and so forth. But in a nutshell, that's what a change order is and when it happens. Change orders do not happen during the design process. Change orders do not happen during the bidding process. Change orders do not happen after construction is done. So only change orders happen during the time of actual construction, from the day construction starts to the day you're finished with construction. Now, let's talk real quick, and we'll go back and get some examples of what these things are, but let's go back and let's talk about extras. What are extras? Now, extras are a kind of a thing that we've seen at Hahn. I mean, where do extras come from? They can come from a multitude of places. The owner wanting to add something. How many times have we seen that, all right?
Yeah. It could be very simple. You know, a simple request, and it could be a extra that costs you in the thousands. And Jim, I think we're on the same page on this. Is that nothing happened unless it's in writing?
Definitely.
When you say, okay, because so often that. The forgetfulness of you agree, they agree, or they thought you say something and you thought you say something, something else. It is a execution of agreed contract. So everything should be in writing. A simple request for change or extras. It all should be done in writing. It's pretty important that process actually put in place. Otherwise, it could lead into a lot of heartache and ulcers.
Definitely,
yeah.
Extras come from everywhere. Extras can happen anytime during the complete process. Go back to our previous podcast where we went over the specific process and the steps that are there. But an extra can happen literally from the day that you start with us as the architect all the way through to a year after construction. You can have an extra because that's the development process that has the potential. Let's say here's an example of an extra that happens early on. Let's say that we have been hired by you to do the design work. And the understanding is that you'd like to do a 10 operatory new build on a piece of property. That piece of property is maybe a 2-acre piece of land. And as we start to develop it, and we've come up with the schematic design, and we're starting to look out how easily it fits on the property, and it's determined that, hey, we can get another tenant space on here, and you can become a landlord and rent out 3,000 or 4,000 square feet to, let's say, an orthodontist or a pedo or somebody like that. And so you decide that, yeah, that's something I would like to do. Well, that wasn't in our original scope, and thus that wasn't part of our original fee. And so there is an extra there. We're doing extra work. That would have to be, of course, negotiated as part of the fee. And then once everybody agrees to it, then you move forward. Again, an extra is something that happens any time, but it has to be agreed upon before the work is done. Never, ever accept an extra. Someone comes up to you, whether it's the architect, whether it's the builder, whether it's anybody, and says that, I've already done all the work and I want some extra money. They know the process. They understand that they need approval before the extra work is accomplished and begun, and that extra work is necessary. So extras can happen during construction. You can get in there and let's say you walk through with your wife or your husband and you say, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. This adds to the project. It is extra. It's above and beyond what the original contract was. In that case, during construction, it would be an extra that leads to a change order. But it's what's called an extra. And that's the reason why the change order came about, not because somebody made a mistake. It's because you added something. Maybe you decided you didn't want to have this material on the outside and you wanted to go with brick, for example, as opposed to siding. And you said, all right, well, we're under construction. We can make the change. We've cut it early enough. So it is an extra which results in a change order. And I know this kind of sounds, I don't want to use the word complicated, and it's kind of the semantics of the words, but it's important that you understand what these things are so that you don't get caught because you misunderstood what was being said and accidentally or without the knowledge approved something which cost you a lot of money. What we're trying to do is make it so you have the knowledge that you don't get into a situation where your project is littered with extras and change orders that cost you additional funds and suck up that contingency. Go ahead.
In terms of extras, of course, you can try to do a lot of stuff to manage or minimize that. The only tool one of the most important tools that are used to build the, whether build out a tenant space or build a brand new building, is the tools that we create called the construction document and specification. When you say that is where details and information to give directions of what need to be done, what are desired and expected, so that it minimize the misinterpretation of what was supposed to be installed or built, so that it minimize the discussions of whether something is qualified as extra or not. Meaning that you can use a setup, you can have two sets of drawings. one that doesn't spell out anything, and the other one spelled out virtually everything, and the one that has more information is the one that manages and or minimizes the potential for extra due to lack of information.
That's a very, very good point. We have always been of the thought process that the more information on the documents, the construction documents specifically, the better it is for the owner, and specifically the less potential for misinterpretation of those drawings and documents by the builder, which directly relates to the potential for requests for change orders and wanting additional fees. Han and I have heard this time and time and time again in all the years that we've been doing this. How many times have we heard a contractor try to say, I didn't see that on the drawing, or I didn't know that was on the drawing? That is just, well, I want to be real straight because that's the name of our show, Straight Talk. That's lame. That's lame in the sense that unless the drawings are totally inadequate, okay, there is information there for them to review. That's a very weak attempt to try to get the owner to pay additional fees or for an additional cost on a change order. There's a process that the contractor and their trade subcontractors have to go through. While they're bidding the drawings, they have the opportunity to ask questions of us, the architect and the designer. They ask those questions to clarify anything that maybe they don't understand, so that when they sign on the bottom line of their bid that this is the amount that they're going to charge you to build this, tied directly back to the construction documents and potentially any addendums, as we call them, which are changes to the drawings after they've been sent out to bid. And that is the legal basis that is the scope of what the contractor is going to build for you for the money that he's going to charge you. So for them to come back and say, well, I didn't see that on the drawing, is just a lame excuse. They should have, if they didn't understand what it was, they should have addressed it during the bidding process and said, yeah, I didn't understand what this was. Can you please give me clarification before they give you a price? So be very, very, very careful when you have a contractor come up and say that to you and try to get you know, an extra or a change order approved because of that excuse. It just doesn't fly.
Yeah, Jim, another item that often happens on projects where it leads to a lot of miscommunication is if you have a thoroughly execute a set of construction document where it spells out practically everything under the sun. A contractor, and they do this, you know, there's a lot of good people out there, a lot of good, honest people out there. Once in a while, you find one that would try to slip something under the, you know, radar. And they say, I didn't bid the project with that particular product in mind. I had something else, you know, that I want to use. Like for instance, cabinetry, for instance. Okay, if you own your own building, then it makes sense to, you know, to go with the product that or material that would last, that would be a good performer that will last you for years. If you lease a space and you're going to have to leave it, then you can probably go to you know, something that's more economical. So the specification may call out for plywood, you know, cabinetries, you know, under the counter and the laminates and so on. And the contractor thought that, well, if I can cut out $10,000, $15,000 out of the cabinet package, then I might win the contract. But without saying that, without verbalizing that to the owner or the architect doing the bidding process, maybe it could become that he want to use, high density or medium density fiberboard instead of go with what's specified. If he doesn't convey that during the bidding process, our specification dictate that he's going to have to provide what he bid on. If he verbalize it, then we at least can it know and take that into consideration. So often substitution is where things would allow the contractor to come in with a lower bid, and if we are not aware of that, of his intention, it could be an issue down the road as things start to formulate, because it's one way to force you to make the decision that because of time and money and whatever the reason is, it forced you to make a decision that may not be best for your project because it was not communicated. So it's rather important that all communication need to be in writing, need to be verbalized up front rather than after the project has been awarded.
Exactly. That substitution process is very important because one roofing material manufacturer is not always equal to another, and they have different criteria. They have different strengths. They have different warranties. They are sometimes different thicknesses. Some perform better in cold climates and others perform better in warm climates. So you have to let us review all that stuff in advance so that the product that eventually gets out there and gets placed on your building or in your building is the best for you, and you're getting the best value for your dollar. Now, we've talked about some change orders. We've talked about extras. There's a really unique term out there that is called unforeseen conditions. Now, unforeseen conditions, you have to be very careful about, but at the same time, it's easy to understand. It's something that is not known during the whole design process and not uncovered until after construction has started. Here, let's example. You've started construction on your project. They're building, or they're digging the foundations. Let's say it's a basement. You're digging the foundations. You've done all your due diligence. You've done it right. You've had soil borings going out, and they poked holes in numerous locations around the property. Everything looks good. Your water table is at a decent level. It allows you to put the foundations in. The drains are, been designed properly for that. You've got the right kind of soil conditions and that stuff for your design or your footers. But lo and behold, right in the middle of the building where you didn't poke a hole, because it's, it's a big piece of property. You're not going to poke a hole and do a test boring every square inch. You hit a big, giant granite boulder. Well, that's unforeseen. It is a legitimate change order. And that's why that contingency is there, is to take care of something like that. The builder, the general contractor, is entitled to extra money to remove that boulder. Or if you decide, and we've seen this before, I've seen it before, where they decide the boulder's too big to remove, so we're going to reduce the basement size so that we basically leave the boulder in place and build around it. Well, there's a couple things that happen with that. One, we have to change the drawings, so that's an extra for us because we have to do extra work. The builder has to then adjust the cost which may be an add or a minus, or excuse me, an add or a credit or deduct, because let's say you cut your basement in half. Well, you're building half of your basement that you anticipated to build before, so you might get some money back, a credit towards your project because of that. But that's what an unforeseen condition is. Now, that can happen in a new build or it can happen in an existing. We've seen it in existing, haven't we, Han?
We've seen it both.
Yeah.
For instance, let me see, Dr. Hunsinger at the H in the HJT, bought a piece of land. It was an old, this junkyard or selfish yard. They cleaned it up, and a large anchor store, grocery store, a Kroger was built. He bought the out parcel to build his practice. So you assume that nothing had was discovered during the construction of this, of the Kroger and the shopping center attached to that. So everything's good to go. On his outer, his outlot, during the excavation, we discover somewhere like 1,500 buried tires. That is unforeseen. Okay. He had to pay to have it removed because that was something that, that was buried. Nobody knew. The soil boring that Jim was talking about is, an actual testing of the soil strength, and that's usually done at the building, around the perimeter of the building, and maybe a couple of spots on the site. In this case, everything basically kind of that missed this pile of tires. So that was a brand new construction project, and we discovered that. It cost, I do believe, about $10,000 or so to excavate and get rid of that. I think in the unforeseen issues are often discovered in existing projects, particularly old buildings. Or projects where there is no existing construction documents or drawings to tell you where things is. If a building had been around for 50 years or so, or less than that, it may have gone through a few modifications. Things get buried in the wall and what have you. So you don't know until you checked out the first wall. Or peel back the carpet and discover that there's asbestos under that carpet, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of mystery in the construction world. And if you're lucky, you don't discover any of that. Those mysteries are usually not buried treasure. Those mysteries are usually a place where you spent more money. So unforeseen things are, you can't escape that. Hopefully you don't discover any of it in your project. Jim?
Right. Existing buildings are prone for unforeseen conditions, and which could potentially result in a change order. Now, I have seen before where you have an existing building, like Hans said, that has been added to and added to and added to. There are no existing drawings. There's really no way to determine specifically how something has been built. And the contractor goes in and starts to open up a wall and finds out that this roof system is not bearing properly on the existing wall. This is actually a case I've had on a project before. It wasn't a dental project, but it was a project. And it was an apartment project over in Pennsylvania. Carlisle, Pennsylvania specifically. And, they opened up the wall and found out that how in the world is this roof even standing up, because it's not bearing on the wall itself. And so that all had to be reworked and shored up and properly installed so that it could take the appropriate adjustments that were being made to it so that we could turn that building into apartments. So those unforeseen conditions which result in change orders can happen just about anywhere, but you do have a bigger chance of them in an existing building. But it's not always the case. There's always the potential when you start digging on a piece of a new property for a new build that you're going to find something underground. Now, you're usually okay once you get out of the ground on a new build. After that, you shouldn't see any unforeseen conditions, with the exception of things like, you know, Mother Nature, act of God, one of those kind of things. Had a project. It was a situation where it was a retail center that was being built, and the masonry walls were being put up. They were properly shored, as they typically are, and overnight, an unbelievable amount of storms came through. It happened to be a kind of like 1 in 100 year windstorm, and it blew down 60 feet of the wall of this retail center. Now, thank goodness, no one was killed. It was at night. It just did damage to the structure, and that was all able to be rebuilt and repaired. But, you know, that's an unforeseen condition. Nobody could have expected, you know, 100-mile-an-hour winds that came in and took out the, you know, majority of this big, long shopping center wall, even though it was short. So stuff
that
does
would,
happen.
Jim, would that would be classified as the act of God?
Yep, and that falls under the act of God, Mother Nature kind of thing. And thankfully, in that particular case, the builder, along with the owner, both had construction insurance that paid for that. And that's another whole topic that we'll probably talk about here in the future, having to do with the necessary insurances that you should have. But thankfully, nobody had to write a check out of their pocket other than the insurance company. They had to take care of that. But that's an example of something that could happen as a unforeseen condition resulting in a change order that is during a new construction. So, okay, now, Han, where do revisions come into this whole mess?
Oh, that's a fun topic. We can talk about that all night long. Revision, let me see. I often say the cheapest time to make revision is when everything is still on paper. Cheapest is a relative term because, no, there's things happen, okay? For whatever reason, things happen. I've been on project where you lay out a building, and then everything is okay, you know, everybody's happy, and for whatever reason, the client decided to flip the building. Well, you know, what's the big deal if you basically mirror the building? Well, now the relationship, that building... We typically design a building and the site to work together. So that way the traffic flow, how the building is serviced, meaning that if you have delivery to the building, it can be done this way, staff come in this direction, and all that good stuff. So there is a symbiotic relationship between the building and the site. So when you change one thing, it has effects. It has cost and effects. So it requires revision from by the civil engineer. Even just simply move the building 10 feet in any direction on the site affects. It has some effects. Sometimes big effects. If it affects the water flow, so that the site had to be modified or redesigned to accommodate a different configuration for a detention pond, for instance. things like that. So revisions are usually sometimes it's a very minor. It could simply be, hey, can we put a door in, a second door into my private office? It gave me a convenient way to get to the other side, on one side of the building versus the other. So those things are minor. I'd say it's during the design process. That's when it's really, that's the ideal time to make those small change. Not that you can't change or revise, information, but when the project already proceeded into the construction phase, that is when it gets pretty costly. Hopefully, during the construction phase, that the change doesn't affect something that's already been built. Because once it's built, then you have to tear it out, and then it depends on how extensive the change or the revision is. Then we need to, not just the architectural drawing, need to be updated, and see how it affects the area that the change occurred. And then once the architectural can pin that down, then the engineers, did it affect the plumbing system? Did it affect the heating system? Did it affect the structural system? And so on. So it has a snowball effect. So you try to minimize everything, revision as much as you can, unless it brings you big quantifiable return. Okay, so it's kind of, revision sometimes could be as simple as I discover something that I really want to put into my building, and I'm willing to pay for it. Sometimes revision is because we discover something in the process that required for that revision. But it does, this is where change order comes in. The revisions trigger change order. Okay.
Trigger a change order, but if it's a revision, can also be during the design process up until the construction start, and that wouldn't result in a change order. That's basically a revision to the project, which then is addressed in the numerous ways depending on where you're at in the process. If you're in design drawings or building drawings, then it's just a change. It might be an extra for us to do extra work. It might not, depending on what the revision is. Once you're bidding, then it results in what's called an addendum to the drawing, so that the bidder understands that, okay, we've made a revision to the drawings. Make sure you catch it in your bid. Then after the construction has started, if there's a revision, then that would result in a change order coming from that thing. So you're right. It during construction, it will result in a change order.
It's the fun stuff.
Yep.
Okay. It's necessary because, things on paper are often, we try to work everything out based on the information we have. There's some projects that it's almost impossible to know what, the thickness of the wall is in the existing building, or what's behind the, the wall covering or the paint or whatever, until you actually go into the demolition phase. So sometimes change, revision are unavoidable. Especially when you work on buildings that has virtually no information. Those are fun projects. If you entertain about buying an old buildings and renovate, you need to take into that consideration that there's more unforeseen. There may be more mystery involved in those buildings. If the building are historic, there is more in dealing with, but most of the time, most of our projects don't fall into the category, but those are, you know, extreme cases. So revisions are things that we have not, I'm pretty sure I can speak for both Jim and myself. We have not encountered any project where revision doesn't occur. None. Because it happens.
Now, here's a prime example of a revision during the design process. Doing a addition for one of our clients, and he's putting on two additional operatories. Then it was determined through the process, before we've started construction, that these new operatories are actually going to become surgical operatories, and the doctor is going to be bringing in a specialist, an anesthesiologist, that actually got involved in the process and looked at it and said, oh, actually, I would like to see three operatories, and also I need to have an office, and in that office I need to have the ability to lock up all of my materials for my portion of, you know, the anesthesia. So that's a revision of the process, which resulted in a bunch more space to be added on. But it was done during the design process so that it did not result in a change order or an extra. It just added to the scope of the project. And, you know, then it's off to bidding, and then they bid the whole project, and eventually, you know, this project will go under construction. So it's the way it's supposed to happen, and it didn't result in a penalty. It just resulted in a larger project scope, where a revision that would result in a penalty is, let's say you're under construction and you walk through your lobby and you say, lobby's too small. I don't have enough room between my front door and my front desk. I want to move the front desk or reconfigure it, or worse yet, add on to the building so that I have a bigger lobby. Well, that's a revision that will result in a change order and will ding you and cost you extra money. Now, here's a very important point to understand the dynamics of costs during construction. Once you're under construction and tied to a contractor, you will never get a dollar for dollar change out of something. So let's say you decide that I want to make a change to my building, and I want to take out brick exterior and do siding. Let's say you want to do a vinyl siding as opposed to brick. You have lost the opportunity for competitive bidding when you've done that. And by doing that, you're at the builder's mercy as to how much that cost difference will be. So, and don't get us wrong, there are good quality builders out there, but you never want to put yourself in that kind of position because you've lost the competitive bidding advantage and you're basically at the mercy of the builder to say, okay, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to give you back $5,000, and credit your project for $5,000 for the difference. You'll never know what that cost would have been. You should have made that determination back during the design process. And that's why it's so crucial. You know, good architects and designers are going to ask all these questions, and they're going to make sure you understand that you need to tie those things down. Please try to minimize any changes while you're under construction. Now, there's some that's going to happen. So there are some revisions that are just going to happen. I mean, it's like, I can't live with this door in this location. It's got to move. Well, maybe that one won't cost you a lot of money. But things like, you know, adding or trying to take away product or change product to be able to save some money here or save some money there, It's a difficult thing, and you don't want to put yourself in that kind of case. Han, I mean, tell our listeners some of the change order things that you over the years that you've come across. I'm sure some of us will get a good laugh out of them. At the same time, we might cry.
There's the things we call scope creep. That means that the project needs expand. In other words, let's say, like Jim was saying earlier, if you you bought a piece of land and you planned your office, and after everything's laid out, and you go, hey, I still got 2 acres of land left. I have some extra money. Let's build some tenant space. Okay, that stuff do happen. I've never been on a project where the client say, I print my own money. It's not an issue. Just do what you want. Haven't run into that, but I did once. Okay, this and the owner are not dentists, by the way. The project, this is considered a scope creep and a change order. It was a project where we started with an existing building, somewhat historic. It was in a very derelict condition. The owner purchased it and converted it into was with the intent to use as a more like a community center. And then they changed their mind and decided to build a museum instead. The scope of the project cost was 3.5. When it went to design, they say, well, we can't have but the best of everything, and we will find donors to donate into it. The project ended by the time it's done. It is the state of the art. It's one of a kind. It's pretty awesome. It was fun because the design team was allowed to use things that are not found in the United States or things that's hardly used in the United States. And the final product was $15.7 million. If you fall off your chair, I don't blame you. If that is your project, you probably will fall off your chair if you didn't approve that, that particular expansion on the project. Often changes happen because the client ran out of money. It's very, very rare that changes to the project due to a windfall, a financial windfall for the client. Often we hear about or we are instructed that the project is in a very tight budget, and then we get surprises like, by the way, I would like to, instead of plastic laminate for my office, I like to upgrade it to this granite that I found in Sicily when we were vacationing, and I'm having it shipped to the United States to put it in my office. Okay, those are rare, but yes, it had happened. There is horror stories, and I don't want to scare all of you, but when you buy a building or when you embark into a project, make sure that you secure the financing appropriate to address any potential issues with the building you purchase. Sometimes it's just the land itself could have hidden issues. You can't do enough to make sure that all your I's are dots and all your T's are crossed. But contingency is something that that you should have. Without it, you could find yourself in trouble. Your project will die in the water. And, if you bought a building that you cannot do anything with because of lack of funding, it's a disaster. It's like you have an anvil around your neck. It's so No, I mean, you know, for dentist office, often the worst that we have seen are existing historic buildings, because it has so many things that could go wrong, so many things that could cost you a lot. If you look at a small community and historic district, the biggest concern that that we have seen are lack of parking. This is discussed a lot on Downtown to some degree. If you don't have a place for your staff to park, that's an issue. If you don't have parking for your patient, it's a bigger issue. So when you buy, property in place, make sure that there's enough land or there's enough public parking or enough, or you have the ability to build parking on your, on your site. All this mystery comes with a price tag. If you don't inquire about it early on, if you don't resolve those shortcomings on project early on, it will become, change orders, and those change orders usually are not cheap. Change order, I've only seen it a couple of times in my career where it's a, where it's a new, there's no extra cost, and it brings more value. But often when you say change order, it's often money out of your pocket. So, Jim, what have you seen to your career dealing with buildings that involve, changes and revisions and so on that would, would give you heartburn at night?
Here's a bizarre one. Had a project. It happened to be an existing project that we were renovating. We always meet with the billing officials, go through all of the parameters of what we're trying to accomplish. Did that, reviewed everything. Everybody had an understanding of what was going to happen. In this particular case, it had to do with the fire rating of a canopy and the exterior canopy construction type needed to be made out of a certain type of material. And they were allowing us to build it. As the process went through, the construction documents were created. The construction documents were turned into the building department. The building inspector retired. A new building inspector was hired, brought into the system, and they rejected the documents based upon the previous understanding by the previous building inspector. And we were held proverbially hostage by the new building inspector and his interpretation of that existing scenario, resulting in a canopy that had to be built out of metal and steel as opposed to being built out of wood, and get this, had to be sprinkled. So an exterior canopy on a building that was built out of non-combustible material had to be sprinkled.
Where is this, Jim?
It was in the central Ohio, and it was crazy. It resulted in unbelievable amount of stomach acid, and going back and forth and trying to negotiate with the building official and so on and so forth. But eventually, it just had to be built that way. And it is what it is. Of course, it resulted in extras and some revisions. Thankfully, it didn't result in a change order because it wasn't under construction yet. But it did result in a bunch of revisions and extras where we needed to get extra fee for our engineers, as well as the drawings that were all created and everything, we had to go back and revise them all. to show this new material and the new construction type and such. So, yeah, I mean, that's a bizarre case. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes these bizarre cases happen. And it's not because, you know, we were bad architects. It was back when I was in my previous life when I was working for a developer over in Akron. But, you know, it's like it wasn't because we were bad. We did everything right. We had all the reviews, everything. And the building official was all happy with it. It's just a matter he didn't tell us he was retiring, and he didn't memorialize it in stone. And then the new guy came in, the new sheriff came in and said, nope, not on my watch. So it's, you know, sometimes crap happens, right?
Yeah. A lot of time conversation, you know, building official, especially if you have not submit the drawing for, you know, an official permit review yet, they're a lot of them are very helpful. To give you some guidance and their expectations and stuff like that.
Most of them are very helpful. Yeah.
And they're worth their, you know, their weight in gold. And then you once in a while you run into one that will not commit to even bother to return a phone call because for whatever reason it's like I don't understand. You know, I think kind of tongue in cheek here. Building official could almost fall into that unforeseen category.
Potentially, we could have a whole discussion on that. Now the other thing is out there. Just you know, for our listeners to understand, it's not just the building official. It's the building inspector. The building official is different. The plans reviewer is different from the building inspector a lot of times. And so the inspectors come out and look at these things. They potentially are a source of change orders because pretty much their review and determination on things is kind of like the last word on a lot of stuff. I mean, obviously, if it's something that's just egregious and it just doesn't make any sense and doesn't fit the code, then you know, you try to fight it. And you go back to his boss, the building plans examiner and the building official, and try to get it changed. But a lot of times, the building inspector is the final say on a lot of things. And so they're another potential source of what we would consider a change order. But hopefully this has been informative. We obviously are very thankful for you, for our listeners. And if you need more information or would like to talk about this further, get a hold of Han and I at our website or our 800 number. You can catch us on our website, www.hjtdesign.com. Our toll-free number is 866-213-1268. And we're here to answer questions and hopefully at least help you out in any way we can. Again, very thankful for you listening to us tonight. And Han, anything you'd like to add to the list of all the fun things we talked about tonight?
I can't believe that an hour has just flew by.
Yeah.
Right? And I think what I'd like to add is, as you approach or consider planning a project, do your research, find out what you like, you don't like, share that with your team to avoid costly changes, revisions, change orders, and stuff like that. Be informed of the things that you want. Decide on it and stick with it. That always help because you can't. It's like having a patient that come in to sit in your chair for a treatment plan, and you're gonna have a crown, made for him or her, and they say, you know, I really don't know what I want in terms of the material, but let's just make one up, and then I'll decide when I see it. That would drive you absolutely nuts. Well, that would drive us nuts. You do not want to be the indecisive member of your project team. So you can manage you can minimize the change order, the revisions and all that. If you do your research, get informed, ask the questions and all that, so that when you move forward on a project, you make the right decision. That way your team, you can lead your team forward without too much issues, too much extra unnecessary cost. Okay. You can make or break the project, help your team to do the things that they need to do to give you what you need at the budget that you had allocated to do the project for. Jim, I am pretty much done.
Yeah, I would say the only thing that I'd also add is, if someone, be it a design professional or a contractor or a builder, tells you that they can guarantee that you'll never have a change order on their job, walk away.
Run.
Because that is not it's something that can be guaranteed. Change orders happen. The very best professionals out there will do everything they can to minimize them. But nobody can guarantee there will never be a change order. The only way they're guaranteeing there will never be a change order is they built in a ton of extra money in their contracts with you to cover the potential of that change order. And if that change order never comes about, they put that extra money in your pocket, in their pocket, and you never know. You never know about it. And you never knew that you got taken for whatever sum of money. So I guess that's my last word on this. We look forward to next week, another fun episode of HJT Design Radio Straight Talk. We'll have an exciting topic, and hope everybody at least had an opportunity to learn something tonight. And I know Han and I enjoy this, and we really did have fun talking about it. Look forward to you next week.
And thanks for plugging in with us this evening. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. Contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.